said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious humans rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think it must be they have no heavenly Father such as watches you and me. That's a great song, and I hope that your heart's been encouraged today. That's all I could think of. So I'm glad that you're here this morning. Take our Bibles. We'll be in John chapter 1. We're going to jump around a lot today, but this is where we're going to park to begin with today. You know, thinking of some of the songs today and the things that were said there, sometimes in our lives we do feel inadequate. We feel overwhelmed. We feel like we've been dropped into the deep end of a pool and we don't know how to swim. Have you ever felt that way spiritually, though? Have you ever felt like you can't do what God has called you to do? Like I'm one big loser for God. God, you've called me to do this, and I just don't know how to do it. There's no way you can ever use me because of what I've done. I think we've all been there in our spiritual lives sometimes. And we felt like we've let God and others down, so there's no other way. There's no way we can do what we're supposed to do. And, you know, at times like that, it seems hard to go on. But it's times like that we remember that some of the people that God used greatly in the Scriptures felt the exact same way. We've been studying on Sunday mornings. Pastor Todd's been going through the book of 1 and 2 Peter, and I just wanted to look today at the life of Peter, of this man that God called to use in his service. Peter was an outspoken leader. He had outstanding zeal for God, but you know what? He still wasn't perfect. In fact, he was far from it. And so today, you know, we're not going to look at everything in the life of Peter, but I want to look today at his life and see that Peter was an imperfect leader in God's perfect plan. And it's amazing to step back and to see the changes that God brought into Peter's life as he followed him. Before we begin, let's begin with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you so much for this place, Berean Baptist Church, that you have given us to meet in today. Lord, we thank you for your word and its power to change our lives. Lord, we thank you for the things that are written therein to show us our need of a Savior, to show us a way that to come back to you and how we can be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray now that as we take the next few minutes to open your word and look at the life of one of your servants, that you would challenge our hearts today, that you would show us areas in our lives where we need to get rid of sin, we need to draw closer to you to be a better ministry for you. We pray now that you would guide this time. Lord, I pray that the words that I say today would not be my words, but they'd be your words. Lord, that you would fill me with your Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen. When we think about Peter, and we've probably all heard of Peter before, there's a lot of things that probably come to mind. I always identified with Peter, and I don't know if it's just because I'm a loudmouth or, you know, I feel like I put my foot in my mouth sometimes. See, that's a lot of times we think of Peter. But the Scriptures are replete with this man named Peter. And the first thing that I want to show you today in John chapter 1 in Peter's life is that God had a special calling for Peter's life. God had a special purpose for Peter from the very beginning. You know, God knows everyone, so of course he knew who Peter was. And Jesus, who is God's Son, who is God, is here on this earth, and he's come to seek and to save the lost. That's where we find ourselves in the Gospels. He knew what Peter was going to do, and I think it's very interesting because we don't see Peter's side of it. But here's Peter, and he's going about his normal routine one day in John chapter 1, verses 35 through 42, and we see his brother comes to him because this is what happens. In John chapter 1, verses 35 through 42, it says, and again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto him, unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. And I like to think about Peter and what he was doing that day. He was probably going about his normal routine. He was a fisherman. And as he was going through his day, we see his brother rushes to him with this news that they have found the Messiah. They have found the one who was promised from the Old Testament to come and deliver people from their sins, to deliver, to seek and to save, as Jesus said, the lost. John tells his disciples, Andrew and one other disciple, to behold the Lamb. Earlier in the passage, Nathan read it for us this morning, he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. That's a huge statement that's made in the book of John. Because the lambs were sacrificed to cover sin in the temple. But never before had a lamb come that could completely remove sin. And when Andrew and this other disciple saw him, they followed. And as Jews, both Andrew and Peter knew of the Messiah. And there's still a lot they had to learn because they probably thought him a conquering king, one who had come to free Israel from the grip of the Romans. But the brothers then head back to Jesus. And it's interesting, we see here that the plan that Jesus had for Peter's life begins to unfold. Because God changed Simon's name that day. See, we always know Peter as Peter. We always call him that. His name was Simon, the son of Jonah. But Jesus says, no longer will you be called Simon, you will be called Cephas, Peter. Peter is the Greek translation. The word means rock or stone. And it's interesting because people who probably knew Peter probably wouldn't have thought of him as a rock or a stone, because the idea of something that is stable, that is unmoving. And we learn from Peter's character that he's impulsive. He likes to speak up. He likes to say things. Whatever comes across his mind is like he says it. And maybe people who knew Peter didn't think of him as one who was stable, a rock or a stone. But Jesus was getting ready to turn the life of this fisherman upside down. Because in Mark chapter 1, we read this. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. God had a clear plan for Peter's life. His plan was that Peter was no longer going to spend his life thinking about the catch the night before. Instead, he was going to spend his life catching men with the Savior. See, Peter and Andrew and James and John, they were probably in business together there at the Sea of Galilee, and they did something that was normal. Fishing was not unusual. It was just, you know, if you grew up in that area, that's what a lot of people did. They didn't have any special education for that. They probably didn't further any of their education. They were fishermen. And Jesus had one simple command that day. Follow me. Come and follow after me and make your life about bringing people into God's kingdom. Peter did what Jesus did. He followed. You see, God had a plan for Peter's life, and something that Peter learned and that we do learn to learn as well is that God's plan for our lives is always better than our plans. We make a lot of plans for our lives. We're going to do this, we're going to do that, and it's not wrong to plan things. But sometimes God turns those things on our head, and we have to follow him and realize his ways are better. Peter probably thought he would fish and fish and fish until he just couldn't fish anymore. God had something greater for Peter. And when God calls us, when God calls us to a ministry, when God calls us to something for him, we do well to listen and obey. And Peter believed in Jesus and who he was and followed after him. And in the life of Peter, we see it over and over and over again, because not only did God have a special calling on the life of Peter, Peter responded in that he showed active faith in Christ. It didn't take long for Peter to start to put the pieces together of who Jesus was. If you're in John chapter 1, in a minute we'll be in John chapter 6. And even though Peter struggled with exactly what it meant that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus was the anointed one, Jesus had come to deliver people, he recognized Jesus for who he was. And one day, Jesus and Peter were out on the sea. And Jesus came to Peter after he had been fishing all night and caught nothing. And he tells Peter to go back out into the boat and cast the nets into the sea. And Peter says, we've already done that. But as you say, I'm going to do it. And there's so many fish, they can't bring them into the boat. They have to call others over to help them. And in Luke chapter 5, verse 8, Peter reacts this way. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Peter recognized who Jesus was. He was the Lord of all creation. And Peter left everything he knew to follow Jesus. If you think about what was comfortable for Peter, that was fishing. He knew how to fish. He'd probably been doing it his whole life. He knew how to do that. This was all new to him. Becoming a disciple, a learner of someone in the day of Jesus, that was a big commitment. You left and you followed after the one you were learning from. You physically supported them. Jesus said that the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. They would follow Jesus for 3 years, and it wasn't always comfortable, and it involved sacrifice, and people looked down on them and attacked them. Yet through extended exposure to Jesus, Peter began to grow, and he began to recognize who Jesus was. And now if you're in that John chapter 6 passage, this is one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture when it comes to Peter and Jesus. John chapter 6, verse 66 says, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter recognized Jesus was God himself. When others found it hard to follow Jesus, Peter stayed. When others found it difficult to understand what Jesus was saying, Peter stayed and wanted to know more. He realized there was nowhere else they need to go or could go to find words of eternal life. It could only be found in Jesus. And Jesus called, and Peter listened, and God was shaping Peter into a servant for himself. Peter was spending more and more time with the God of the universe, and it was changing his life. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 17, it says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." People didn't recognize in Jesus' day who he was. Some looked at him as a teacher, a rabble-rouser, a prophet, and perhaps a traitor. But Peter saw him for who he was, the Son of God. And God was working in Peter's heart. He was drawing him closer to himself. He was making him more like Christ. And Peter was believing he was drawing closer to God. James wrote later that draw nigh to God and he will draw near to you. God always draws close to those who draw close to him. He was growing from simply following to an active faith, because just following in word only wasn't enough for Peter. It wasn't enough for him just to say, oh yeah, I mean, I follow Jesus. He had to do something about it. He had to go out and act on that. And it's interesting, even the things we read about what Peter does, he acts on this faith that he had placed in Jesus. In Matthew chapter 14, the disciples are out on the Sea of Galilee and a huge storm comes up. And in the middle of the storm, they look up and they see a person walking on the water. And rightfully so, they all freak out. Okay, I don't think any of us in here would do anything differently. And Jesus says, "Fear not, it is I." And here's Peter, the first one to say something in Matthew chapter 14. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. A token passive faith wasn't enough for Peter. He acted on what he believed. He was an outspoken man of action. And when Jesus came walking on the water and declared himself, Peter said, Lord, if that's really you, then I want to walk on water too. If it is who you say it is, tell me to come out there to you. And what Peter had seen and heard from Jesus had affected his life. He believed in Jesus and he acted on that belief. True faith in Christ is active. It changes the way we act. It changes our lives. You can't truly claim new life in Christ if you've never changed. One of my favorite quotes on this is by Warren Wiersbe. He says, no man can come to Christ by faith and remain the same any more than he can come in contact with a 220-volt wire and remain the same. That will change your personality. God changes people. We serve an unchanging God that's in the business of changing people. An extended exposure to God and his word will change you. True faith in Christ isn't stagnant. It acts on belief. Now, I'm not talking about working to get to heaven or working to please God or working that he will save you. It is only God who can save you. And it's his strength that gives you the power to act on that belief. In a very practical way in the life of Peter, Peter believed he could walk on the water that night in the middle of a storm if Jesus said he could. If he, in his mind, if Jesus, God, said he could come out to him on the water, then he could do it. And so he climbs out of the boat and walks to Jesus. But you know, we look at the life of Peter and it's not all of this. Because Peter's not perfect. He had struggles in life. In fact, in that very same passage we were just in, as Peter gets out of the boat, look what happens next in Matthew chapter 14. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Even in a moment of tremendous faith, Peter doubted. He was out the boat. He was walking on the ocean, on the Sea of Galilee. He's going to Jesus, and as he does so, he begins to look around. And I can only imagine in his mind, this is crazy. What am I doing out here? This shouldn't be possible. As he began to look around and take his eyes outside of Jesus, he began to doubt what he was really doing through the power of God. And he began to sink. And it's really interesting. It always blows my mind. Jesus rebukes him for having what? Little faith. And I think, there ain't no way I was getting out of that boat. That's a lot of faith. But the doubt came in and took away that faith from Peter. It's like it evaporated in an instant. And Peter's struggles seem to come in the wake of a huge victory in his faith in God. Does that ever sound familiar? That he does these great things for God. He does these great things in the service of the creator of the universe. And right after that, something happens. That passage we read earlier in Matthew chapter 16, where he declares Christ to be God, this happens right after that in Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 23. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. It's amazing that Peter, just a few verses in our scriptures here recorded earlier, this great declaration of who Jesus is, and then this happens. Christ is telling his disciples what's going to happen, how he's come to seek and to save the lost, how he's going to die on the cross. And again, it's Peter. He takes him aside and says, this is not going to happen. This is not what's going to happen. And he's rebuked by Jesus because Peter again loses sight of who Jesus is and why he came. He had yet to fully understand the mission of Jesus to seek and to save the lost. He was still growing in his faith. He wasn't perfect. He struggled. Yet Peter's greatest, what we may say, moment of weakness was yet to come, because the very night that Jesus was taken to be crucified, in John chapter 18, we read this, "Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art thou not also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself, and they said therefore unto him, art thou not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew." In the moment of Jesus' imminent death, Peter was scared. He had declared to Jesus that though no one else stands by him when he goes to trial, I'll be there. Jesus told him that was not what's going to happen, that he would deny him. And sure enough, that they're in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Peter stands up for Jesus. He cuts off the ear of one of those that comes. And he's trying, and Jesus says, no, it's okay. This is what I told you was going to happen. And Peter, standing outside this trial that's going on, denies three times the man he said he would follow, the Lord of all. Peter feared for his life. And it's like here, his faith just wasn't big enough yet. He didn't fully grasp why Jesus had come. He wasn't perfect, but he was growing. You know, it's encouraging to me because our faith in God isn't perfect either. We struggle. We struggle in our faith. We struggle in our obedience to God. We fail God. We take our eyes off of him. We sink into our sin. And instead of identifying with him, we try to blend in with other people around us. In times like these, we may feel like an unworthy servant of God. Peter certainly did. We read later that Peter, after the death of Christ, he went back to fishing. He said, I'm going fishing. He didn't know what else to do. But God doesn't throw us out. He doesn't discard us. We look at that from a human standpoint and say, Peter, I mean, you made a lot of great statements and you said a lot of great things. But when it really counted, were you there? When it really counted, were you standing up? And he had to honestly answer, no. But God overcomes Peter's weaknesses. Jesus reassured and restored Peter. After the resurrection, Jesus comes to Peter and restores him to his service. He restores him to go out and spread the gospel. Jesus wasn't finished using Peter in his perfect plan. Jesus ascended into heaven, and he sent the Holy Spirit, and the church age commences in the book of Acts. And as the church age commences, God uses Peter in a mighty way. God takes this simple fisherman, this outspoken man, this one who struggled with his consistency for God, and uses him in a way that's unimaginable at the beginning of the church age here. In Acts chapter 2, verses 14 and 41, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye who dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." And he preaches this message here on the day of Pentecost, and verse 41 says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." This is what we call the day of Pentecost. It's the first message of the church. It's the beginning of what we sit in now, the church age. God didn't throw Peter off to the side. He didn't say, Peter, I'm done. I can't use you anymore. Instead, he took him and used him in establishing his church. And there in Jerusalem that day, on the day of Pentecost, God began building his church. And God would continue to use Peter in this way. Later in Acts chapter 10, Peter goes to a man named Cornelius. It says, and then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. God used Peter to bring the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, to the Gentiles, something we can all be thankful for here today. He was using Peter to establish his church. Both Jews and Gentiles have heard the message of salvation from Peter. See, Peter was just an ordinary guy that God used in extraordinary ways. He was a simple fisherman who had a life-altering experience with the Savior. He was a man who allowed God to use him. He went on to write two letters in the Scripture, 1 and 2 Peter. And some believe he may have had much influence on the Gospel of Mark. He eventually would die a martyr for the cause of Christ. This one who at the death of Christ would not even be identified with him would die a martyr's death. He lived up to the name that God gave him with God's help. Peter wasn't perfect, but he was part of God's perfect plan. You see, we serve a God of the means. What does that mean? We serve a God who delights in using processes and people to bring about his will. We serve a God who wants to take you and use you to do great things for him. And we can't do it on our own strength. We can't do it in our own power. We can only do it with his help. You know, on your own, you can't serve God like you should. You get caught up in your sin and your doubt. You drop the ball. Anything, any good thing we accomplish is tainted with our pride and our own strength. But with God's help, you can have a great impact for God. God doesn't call us to be lone rangers, to go out on our own and figure it out. He empowers us with his Spirit. He gives us the strength we need. He leads us in the way we should go. He gives us the strength to go on, the hope in the midst of despair, resistance in the face of sin, and a joy the world cannot know. Like Peter, though, you need a life-altering encounter with the Savior. You need his salvation. This man was more than a man that Jesus followed. He was the Son of God, who came and lived a perfect life on this earth, died on the cross for your sin, and was raised again the third day in victory over that sin. You need new life in Christ. You need his help every day. Peter's faith grew stronger the more time he spent with his Savior. Your faith in Christ will grow stronger the more time you spend with God. How do you spend time with God? Through reading his word, through praying to him. These are the primary ways that God has given us to get to know him more. He's written it all down. As Peter grew, he grew in usefulness. What has God called you to do? What mission does he have for your life? Perhaps there are some of you who sit here today that God has called you into further ministry for him. Maybe that's a ministry around Berean Baptist Church. Maybe some of our younger guys here, especially our teen guys, maybe God's called you into full-time ministry for him. Maybe some of you, he's calling to a saving knowledge of himself. You've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't even know what this means to follow after and become more like Christ. Whatever he is calling you to do, give yourself wholly to him. Peter left everything to follow God's call. So are you willing to give up your plans in life to be wholly used of God? Because God cannot use you effectively if you will not serve him exclusively. There are so many things in this world, and there are so many things in our lives that call for us to serve them. We are bombarded every day by things we need to do, by places we need to go, by people who want our attention, and there are things we have to take care of, but we serve God exclusively. We don't serve the things of this world. We serve our God who sent his Son to die for our sins. Peter was an imperfect leader, yes, but he was part of God's perfect plan. God wants to take us, imperfect people, and use us in his perfect plan, in his perfect way. I don't know what that might be for you today, wherever you sit, but we need to take the next step and follow him by faith. And like Peter, we can be used in a way to bring honor and glory to him. Father, we thank you again for your word and its power to change our lives. We thank you for things we read in the Word like Peter. Lord, we pray that you would challenge our hearts to show us what it is that you would have us to do to take the next step of faith. Lord, I pray for those in this room today who maybe don't know you as Savior. Lord, may you challenge their hearts. May they come today to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray for believers today that you would show us sin in our lives. Show us how we can be more effective in our ministry for you. Lord, we have so many spheres of influence in our lives. How can we use those more effectively for you? We pray for your grace and your strength. In your name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and we're going to have our time of invitation.